From the American College of Financial Services, it's time for NextGen in 10. For the next 10 minutes, join our host, Alana Phillips, as she speaks with industry leaders and insightful guests about topics relevant to up-and-coming financial professionals.
Hey all, it's Alana Phillips here again with Jali Chen. She is the Associate Provost of Graduate Programs at the American College and the Succession Program Director for the Value Growth Institute. Jali, thank you for continuing to hang out with us here and talk about your life.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thrilled to talk about this topic especially. You have a specific niche, I'm not going to give away what it is, in your personal practice as a financial planner. And it is a niche that I hear a lot of new folks in the industry have aspirations to work with these type of clients. And I'm hoping that you'll give them some insight into maybe the benefits of working with your particular niche and maybe some challenges or reasons that they should not have those aspirations. So first, right. Jali, what is this niche? Like, who do you work with and how did you come to work with this particular group?
So I work with small business, and what I mean small is what typically mid-sized to large private businesses, if you will. I did not necessarily stumble into this. And unlike most people's technical, you know, typical approach, they just kind of say, I want this niche and I'm going to go with that. It actually didn't happen to me that way. It was more of, as I mentioned in a previous episode, that I came from a corporate world. So my natural language is really corporate people. And so these corporate people started a foundation for me in terms of client coming through. So I got steady income coming through. But it was really through those board positions that I served and community involvement, I realized that there's a group of people that doesn't necessarily have someone serving them in the way that it's supposed to. And one day I came across a training program, it's in Lincoln, as a matter of fact, that this person was talking about business owner succession. And I thought, wow, that's kind of very interesting. And I didn't actually, I couldn't possibly grapple with the time of how that would be a niche. But what happened was I had a conversation with close family members, several of them who happened to be business owners. And the story that they told me was horrifying, meaning I'll just give you some statistic after I, you know, been doing this so many years. In the United States, about a third of business will sell to a third party, if you will. And a third of them will transfer their business to their business partner or their next generation, or basically internal transfer. And a third will simply just walk away with nothing. Mm. And several families, very close family members of mine, have gone through that third walking away with nothing. So I actually have witnessed a lot of them that having really difficult time in terms of retirement, they have to start drastically cut down. And then I started to dig a little bit deeper about what was the reason. One thing led to the other. Eventually, I realized that because of my corporate experience, that business savviness, if you will, how to run big corporation, that actually was a very sort of very unique skill set that I have. I can help my business owners see strategy that they couldn't see. And then based on that strategy, plan them accordingly. So I literally plan based on two sources of income. One is coming from their business and that business translates into their personal income. And then eventually, hopefully can fund their retirement at some point. So my answer to your questions regarding about how do I develop the niche? I always say this to people, you don't develop niche. Niche finds you. And therefore, and I hope that I can see that you agree with me.
I am like aggressively nodding my head yes for our listeners. Something,
and I've always seen people tell me that I want to do this niche. And I always tell, no, it's not what you want to do. Is they literally find you because of your internal talents, that you have something in you that actually speaks to this group of people, right? And so because of those business savvies and skill set that I have, and also people don't, the business owner oftentimes don't necessarily hear people tell them the truth, right? Because they are pretty much, think about this, that they create this wonderful business and they're being successful, but they're still in their own kingdom, right? In their own kingdom that they are probably surrounded by 90% yes sayers, right? Nobody will say no to them, or nobody will have the nerve to say something different to them. So they are in their little kingdom where me as a consultant coming in, or as an advisor coming in, telling them something so refreshing that no one ever able to tell them. I remember one time, one of my clients, this is a client that only had about $50 million revenue when I started working with them. When I finished with them, they climb up to $100 million. So obviously there are a lot of works in between, but one thing that happened in that initial conversation about working together was that he had a problem. The problem was he wanted to take his company to franchise. Remember, succession has many different ways. Franchise is one of them. But he has a team of attorneys, CPAs, his own team, executives, tons of people in that project, right? 3 years, no one can make it work. And I just happened to be prospecting him that day. He asked me to join that team meeting, so I did. And I was listening to what they're saying, and I said, well, your problem is very simple. Well, I shouldn't be giving away the answer, by the way, but no advisor should be giving away the answer while you are still prospecting. But I simply pointed out, look, if this is what the gets stuck, right? Let's do A, B, and C. And then here's a timeline, and boom, you have your solution. And I could not believe what happened next. What happened next was not the business owner say that he's going to hire me right away. It was the attorney and the CPA, both at the same time. They're, one is on the phone, one is in the room with me, both at the same time saying, oh my God, that's a phenomenal and elegant solution. How come we never thought about it? I'm like, yeah, you idiots.
And that's why you need to hire me. Yeah.
But yeah, but I think because of that talent that I had, because of those years of experience and plus working with individual clients, I was able to bridge those two things together and very able to provide those solutions very, very quickly. And as a matter of fact, that particular client that I mentioned about was actually one of my largest contract I ever got. And that was, there was no financial product involved. This is purely consulting project, really helping him to set together that succession plan. But so the point I'm trying to say here is that sometimes you don't necessarily chase the niche. The niche actually finds you because of your very unique talent from your past experience. Those building blocks that we're talking about, those building blocks actually do help attract those niche to you.
Totally. And I could not have asked you to script that answer better, I think. Thank you. I'm going to pause us there and we'll be back in just a minute.
The American College of Financial Services is dedicated to providing applied financial knowledge and education, promoting lifelong learning, and advocating for ethical standards for the benefit of society. I'm George Nichols III, President and CEO, and I encourage you to listen and subscribe to this and other college podcasts as we continue to expand our horizons in this digital landscape. Remember, no matter what, we are always stronger together. Visit theamericancollege.edu to learn how you can be part of the change we're building.
Get a must-have mark of excellence with a program whose students pass their exams at rates well above the national average. Set yourself up for success in the rest of your career with our CFP Certification Education Program. Learn more at theamericancollege.edu/CFP.
And we're back. Jolie, let's pick up where we left off. We've had a guest on previously. I'll shout out Lucila Williams, who her episode is about the attractive practice, right? This idea that if you are you, if you show up as, you know, who you are in the world and the things that are important to you and your skills and your experience, people will be attracted to you, right? And you will ultimately, hopefully, have that niche that sort of develops naturally. I think where it becomes clunky is when advisors go, I want to work with, you know, ultra high net worth yacht owners, or I want to work with underwater basket weavers. And you don't necessarily have the attraction to that group, and it becomes really misaligned, right? It becomes a clunkier process. So you're working with a lot of these business owners. Succession is very interesting and very challenging. What do you find are the biggest challenges of working with this demographic?
Time. Mm. Time will be the number one. And part of the reason is that business owners, as I mentioned, they're very unique in terms of their approach running and growing their business. And they're so busy. They're oftentimes putting off the fire. They're good at what they're doing, but what they don't have is time to actually work on the business, time to actually look forward into the future, where allowing them to think about whoever is going to buy the business, you have to build it to a point to allow people to buy it. And I think that's a concept oftentimes business owners don't necessarily have, because they don't have that time. They don't see into the future. They don't see their business is an investable asset, right? It is. It is a very valuable asset, depending upon how you build it. I'll give you one example. This example really crushed my heart all the time when I talked about this. This was a married couple in their early 80s. Somehow, somewhere they found me. I went to their manufacturing, if you will. It's a manufacturing business. And they literally were in tears asking me to help them to exit. And I couldn't help to tell them that I am very, very sorry, not because of your age, because of the fact you missed the window of the opportunity to get out. And you are so much down to the tail end, they fall right into that one third that I'm talking about that doesn't necessarily able to sell. It's because, not because they can't sell, it's because they did not build it intentionally to sell. They unconsciously didn't know that. So unfortunately, those are the things that I believe that time is biggest challenge that owner has. If I can just do a little tiny little bit plug in, oftentimes people will ask me, I can speak their language. So how do I get more business owner clients? And I learned this trick from someone at Lincoln as well. And that was interview people. You could interview people and you get to know them. I did not set out to get them as a client. I set out to do a research. This was back in 2010, when I was writing my first book. I ended up interviewing 100 business owners, majority of them in North Carolina, some outside of the North Carolina. My goal was to find out why people don't do succession plan. That was my journey. I wanted to find out why people don't want to work with me. What was the reason? So I did that research and found out time was number one thing. And number two is that they just don't have that priority in their mind. So just a little kind of tidbits. If those of you wanted to work with business owners, interviewing them is one good way of doing that. But interviewing for the sake of interviewing is not necessarily a good thing. Have a goal. In my situation, I just want to find out one question. Why don't they want to work with advisors to help them plan their succession? And through that interviews, I found my answer.
It's interesting, Jelly. I don't think we've talked about this on the podcast yet, but I have very strong opinions about some of the things that we do to bring new people into the industry, right? Because we haven't changed any of them. And there's still the Project 100 that every firm has, you know, somebody come in and sit down. And they're still doing it in the interview, which is just like wild to me, where you sit down, you write, you know, your 100 people in your network and you know, who you're going to sell insurance to or whatever. But something that I used to have the interns in the program that I ran do is what you're describing, right? It's not a Project 100. It's not a tell me who your high net worth friends are. It's go out and survey people in your network and community. And there was a list of questions with the design, Jolly, of what you're saying, of understanding what do they think about financial planners, right? Why wouldn't they engage with somebody? What is it that they struggle with the most in terms of their, whether it's business business planning or personal planning, and there were some specifics around that. But it accomplished a couple things. It gets you out in front of people, which is an important part of that sales and marketing skill that you were talking about. But also it gets you the actual information that you need to be of service, exactly, instead of being a salesperson who's just going to attack this list of people that you've written down to sell them insurance or sell them something, right? So right. That yeah. it is a very powerful tool for new folks coming into the industry to approach it that way versus the way that I know a lot of our companies in the industry suggest that you start.
Have defined your questions, I guess. Really define what you are looking mm-hmm. for. Because if your goal is to sell them something, you will not get it.
Nope. I think we've gotten so far away from that idea that we're going in to sell something. It really has to be about that sort of seeking to understand.
Correct.
Yeah, gathering information about how you could be valuable to someone, right, how you could be of service versus the goal of a sale. So I guess in wrapping up your discussion of this particular niche that you've developed, Jolly, would you, I guess, encourage folks to work with business owners? Are there things that are very rewarding about it? Is it a group of people you think they should avoid working with if they think that they want to work with them? What are your thoughts?
I think that's a very tough question to answer. And the reason is this, I would encourage people to just let the niche find them first, right? Mm-hmm. But one of the group of business owners that I know I will never work with and will never try because I've tried many times, that is physicians. I just don't have the skill set. They are so good at asking me questions. By the time we finish the meeting, all the answers are already provided. Mm. So I can never work with them because they will never hire me because I already told them all the answers. So I have to consciously know that, sure, I'm going to work with business owners, but there are certain groups that I do not want to work with because I just never able to work with them. I don't speak the language. So I think that for people who wants to work with business owner, I do encourage you to do that. But check your inventories first. You need to know what is your skill set, what is your language you're talking, so then you could actually have a proper connection and build that trust. So then you are not working double time, triple times, fighting for something that you don't necessarily like the physician groups that I don't want to work with, right? I just out there kill myself.
And I think who you
very frustrated over time.
Yeah. Yeah. Understanding who you don't want to work with is just as important as understanding who you do want to work with.
Right.
And I do think that comes out as you are out there and attracting whoever it is that you're going to be attracted to. You will also repel some of the folks that maybe you shouldn't be working with. And
exactly.
How powerful, Jolly, you talked about your sales, original sales coach, right?
Right.
How powerful to be able to say, I don't think we're a fit. And right. Sometimes they want to work with you even more so after
yes,
that.
That's very true.
But then that's where it's good to have people to refer them to. And they're going to walk away from that experience going, Jolly had integrity to tell me I wasn't a fit for her. And I'm going to refer somebody else that I know is a fit
exactly.
for her.
Yeah, exactly.
Fabulous. Well, Jolly, thank you for sharing the pros and cons of working with particular niches and attracting them to you. I know we're going to continue our conversation. So thank you for your insight.
Thank you so much.
For more episodes of this and other podcasts, visit theamericancollege.edu/podcasts. And don't forget to leave us a rating and review. This has been Next Gen in 10, brought to you by the American College of Financial Services.